You're listening to The Local Lounge. Have a seat with the DFW local music scene and your host, Zach Killian.
Hello and welcome to The Local Lounge on Talk Radio 1190. I'm your host, Zach Killian, and we're talking anything and everything about the local music scene in North Texas. It's the focus of this show to give you, the listener, somewhat of a behind-the-music experience. And tonight, we have the infamous and lovable punk rocker with an affinity for showing off what his mama gave him, Slick Rick of the Wee Beastie, Dunmark Graves, and... What was the other band you told me about? It was the...
Wee Beasties, Omar Graves, and the Lapsed
Catholics. The Lapsed Catholics, that's what it was. Yeah. I really dig it. And you're also known as, what's your name was given to you at birth, Richard Haskins. How you doing, brother?
Fantastic. I'm doing great.
I'm glad to have you in, man. It was a hell of a time trying to get you in.
Yeah. They've got me on a tight leash on this parole thing, so I don't...
I wouldn't doubt it, man.
Yeah, so... Leah brought me here.
What a sweetheart.
Yes. and also I wanted to have her. It wasn't just, I didn't bring her just for the ride. It was, just so you know.
No worries, brother. Now I wanted to start off because you're quite an infamous dude, and I mean that in the most lightful way. Now, When I read Dallas Observer, Jeff Gage wrote a little something about you, that you are the most hated and loved musician in Denton. Now, what's your opinion on that?
I mean, I think that's probably one of the best compliments I've ever gotten in my whole life. I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, I mean, when I got into punk rock, though, the whole thing was that I just wanted to get any kind of reaction. So I guess that means that I'm getting a reaction, so...
That's all that matters, is what comes out in the end, right?
Yeah, I still know my name. If they love me or hate me, they still know my name.
Oh, yeah. If you're in Denton, you got to know that name by now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's... I'm like the guy at school is like, oh, he'll pee in your lunchbox. Or I don't know.
Did you do that in high school?
No, but I mean, there were those guys, you know, that like you... Yeah, actually, I was that guy in high school, kind of, I think, probably. I mean, I didn't pee in anybody's lunchboxes in particular, but...
In particular.
Yeah, but you know, it was like that... It was like, oh, there's that... That's that guy, you know? So...
Oh, yeah.
I've always been that guy.
Okay. So how long you been in the music scene, buddy?
In the scene, man, that's a little tough to say. I mean, we started playing... I think my first punk band, we played our first show in December of 2000.
2000?
Yeah, and we were kind of just, you know, kicking. You know, I'd been playing with a couple other guys just kind of kicking around since like maybe like late 98, early 99.
So how long have you dabbled in music?
Since, I don't remember not playing music. I don't remember. My grandmother played... was teaching me piano from like maybe 4 or 5 years old, probably maybe even before, and not super formally because I wouldn't, I wouldn't sort of follow the rules, I guess.
So you did have a structure to it, but you were definitely messing around with it.
Yeah. I mean, she, you know, anytime I had any questions, she always just made herself available. That just sort of became the way to teach me. And so I started playing that, and then... This was when I was growing up in Denison, Texas, and then my parents got divorced, and I moved to Denton when I was 10, and I just sort of hated everything because I was just away from my family. I didn't know anybody in Denton, and I didn't really know anybody around here. Dallas seemed like just this foreign land. I mean, just the idea of going to like a big city like blew my mind. Denton was a big city to me because, even that many years ago. But then I guess, I don't know. It was when I was like maybe 13 or so, my grandmother bought me a guitar and I learned probably 4 or 5 chords on it, and I had a
band.
That's
all you need to know.
I had a band like a month later, yeah. And so I haven't stopped playing since then.
I mean, look at AC/DC. They only know a few power chords, and look how far they got.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's funny because I mean, like, you know, I would just kind of learn as we went. So if you it was just like if you listen to the records, it's kind of like listening to me learn my instruments.
Mm-hmm. So, definitely. Yeah. Especially with the kind of people you surround yourself with, too.
Oh, man. I play with some dudes that are way too good for me to be playing with.
Nah.
I mean, for real. Some of these guys are just unreal.
You start to learn from people that have a higher skill level than you, and it brings you up to bringing you up to their level as well.
Yeah, you should as you know, you should surround yourself with people who will challenge you. You shouldn't surround yourself with people who will pull you back. Maybe, you know.
Definitely, I heard a message a long time ago. Surround yourself with people that you want to strive with instead of bringing you down.
Yeah, I never cease to be amazed. I mean, even just with like coming out of prison, I was blown away that the level of people who like wanted to play with me and still wanted to play with me. So I made a lot of good friends and I met a lot of really good musicians. So I'm pretty thankful for that.
So who are some of your favorite musicians in the music scene currently?
As far as that I'm playing with, or as far as just who's out
in
there
general.
Right now? Man, there's a lot of I'm still catching back up on stuff just because I've been gone for a year. But I mean, as far as who's doing stuff now, I really like of course, Hale. I love Hale Baskin. I love the stuff that she does. I love all that whole crew. I love her husband Colin. I love those guys. I love a lot of the people that are doing anything interesting or unique and really aren't, you know. Thin Skin, man, Thin Skin is an awesome band. As far as just, you know, we're talking.
I thought you meant literally like thin-skinned people.
Oh, no. There's a really cool kind of like chick punk rock band called Thin Skin that's really awesome.
I'll have to check them out.
They're unreal. I like that. Animal Spirit out of Fort Worth is fantastic. Den's just got like a ton of stuff that's been happening like for like a while now.
Yeah, they've been thriving for a good couple of years. Well, more than a couple of
years.
But
as far as hip-hop, Elijah Heaps is really awesome. She's probably seen more stuff than I have. Leah has probably seen a lot more stuff than I have over the last like year. So does anybody stick
it? I love Hale and Hale and Collins band, and Elijah Heaps is also awesome. Pretty much the people you said.
Yeah, there's just like there's a lot of man. There used to be a band in Denton called Layer Cake that.
I think I know who you're talking
God,
about,
dude. It sucks. It seems like every time like a really cool. That's why it's really important to go to house shows around there, because you'll go to a house show and you'll see a band that it's probably like their third or fourth show, and they're probably only going to be around because of it being a college town. They're probably going to be around for like
everyone goes like five separate ways.
Yeah, so these bands are only around for like a couple months and they disappear. Fun Button's really awesome. That's a great band.
And Head in the Cox.
Head in the Cox are awesome. Orchonaut. Orchonaut's a great band. There's a lot of cool bands that are happening right now, but a lot of it's just kind of house show stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that's the thing about local music. Sometimes it never gets off for people as fast as they want it to, so they just see it as like a temporary project, and that's kind of the sad thing about just kind of local music scene. You're going to see this, and then it's going to be gone.
There's a really funny surf rock band called the Denton Tarantinos.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we're trying to get them on that Unmarked Graves bill on the 13th. Like, I'm trying super hard.
That name alone, hell yeah.
Oh, man, yeah. And it's just like surf rock, too. So,
it's perfect, then.
Yeah,
it's that Pulp
absolutely.
Fiction
vibe. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, and any kind of goofy name, like, I'm gonna like your band. So.
Oh, hell yeah. Speaking of goofy names, what are some of your musical inspirations that you derive from as you create music? Is there any big names out there that really
create
the Richard Askins brand?
Yeah, man. Of course, anybody who knows me, I'm a huge Misfits fan. I mean, the Misfits were like...
You do look like a Misfits fan. No, I don't mean that offensively.
Yeah, no, yeah. A huge Misfits fan. Iggy Pop is a really big inspiration on my shows. As far as shows, I hate to say this, I get compared to him sometimes, GGM. Allen, but I mean, I don't poop on stage or anything, but you know, I mean, like, but
you never know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not saying I won't, but you know, it's probably important. I haven't so far. I'm a little. They say bladder shy if you pee, but I think it's bowel shy. Is that maybe the word?
Bowel shy?
Bowel shy? I don't know. I don't like pooping in front of people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just
bowel shy.
Yeah, seems like a weird way to go. I mean, plus I don't know how you sing when you're doing that. It just seems like you. I don't know.
I'd pucker up. I wouldn't be able to do it.
Riverboat Gamblers, great band out of Denton, Texas, but now they're based in Austin. The Marked Men, great band from Denton, Texas, but I don't know if they were pretty big for a while there too. Black Flag, Dead Kennedys, Fear, Circle Jerks, SOL, Bad Brands, Minor Threat.
So you just got punk pumping in your blood, bud.
Oh man, nonstop. I just can't stop listening. But then at the same time, I'm a big Elliott Smith fan. You know that he, you know, like the folky. My son's middle name is Elliot, like spelled the same way. You know, so any kind of like folky down. I like Nick Drake. Love stuff like that. Velvet Underground.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Yeah, love that kind of stuff. So.
Pokey punk mix going in there. Well, we're about to go to break here in just a few. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about some of the history of Richard Haskins. He's got somewhat of a record that we could talk about.
I've got multiple records.
Multiple records. He's on the honor roll. That's what we're going to say. Yeah. He's on the honor roll in second grade. But we're going to be back with the Local Lounge and Richard Haskins here. Richard Haskins here on Talk Radio 1190.
We don't care what you want to.
I'm Ed Steele, winner of the Dallas Observer's 2014 Best Music Photographer in North Texas. You're listening to The Local Lounge.
Listening to the Local Lounge here on Talk Radio 1190 AM.
We're back with the Local Lounge on Talk Radio 1190. Zach Killian here, and we're here with Mr. Richard Haskins.
Hello.
And before we went to break, we were bringing up his record and whatnot. So I don't want to go into uncomfortable territory.
No, you're cool, dude. I'll talk about you with anything.
So at 35 Denton last year, you were about to go on with the Wee Beasties, correct?
Yes.
And right before you went on stage, a couple officers of the law came up and said, sorry, can't perform. What happened with that?
Oh, man. I wish that that's how that went down.
Yeah, me too.
I knew that they were kind of like after me, you know, for like a little while because I had that worn out. I stopped showing up to probation. I was going through like a ton of stuff. I was on my first date with Leah, and we went and checked in at the artist tent for 35 Denton, and they told me, hey, you're gonna get arrested tonight. I was like, all right. You know, because they've been hunting for me for like a week. People have been calling me.
Wait, who told you that? The festival
staff? Festival people, yeah. They're like, no, it's cool, though. They're going to let you play first. And I was like, okay, well, that's cool. You know, as long as I can play, I'm fine with that.
Kind of like the violin players on the Titanic going down.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was going to be like my Blues Brothers moment. We were playing at J&J's, and our guitarist, Matt, he lived above J&J's. And so there's a stairwell that goes up there. So when we're walking past, you know, the band's set up. We're ready to play. But I guess Matt had, like, come upstairs to grab something or something. So as I'm walking past his door, like his stairwell, I look up. And it's a glass door, so you can see through it. And I look up, and there's, like, all these people up there, and I see Matt. And I'm like, I'm going to go see what Matt's up to. So I walked up the stairs, and I go to try to high-five him, and he gives me this, like, weird look. And I'm like, uh-oh. And he doesn't high-five me back. And I'm like, what's this dude? What's this dude give me, you know, throw me shade for? Like, what's this? And so, like, there's a guy standing next to him, like this fat guy. I swear, it looks like a cartoon character. Like a fat guy. Like, not kind of fat, like morbidly obese with, like, a Hawaiian.
Like, size?
Hawaiian shirt. He looked like a retiree that you'd see like at a luau, and like I turn and I'm like, what's up, dude? And I try to give him a high five, and then he grabs my arm and twists it behind my back.
Oh,
and I'm like, what? And then another dude like comes up there, they got me like on the ground, and I'm like, and they're like, you're under arrest. I'm like, I can see that, like, you know. They're like, stop us. He's like, I'm like, why did you you could have just told me I was under arrest. You don't have to slam me on the ground, you know. And they were like, you put your hand up in an aggressive manner. And I was I said high five. Like, what are you talking about? Like, and then so they dragged me down. Of course, Leah's crying. I mean, she's not wanting me to go to jail. And I mean, nobody's was. I mean, the band's set up and we're ready to play. So, I mean, I had to wait a year and 11 days to even get out to perform again. I guess it was like a year and, I don't know, because I was playing maybe like 2 weeks or something. Like,
yeah, it was like 2 weeks after you got out.
2 weeks after I got out, yeah. So.
So you got back on it real quick after you got out.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome, man.
Leah, I mean, I would call her and she would book shows while I was in prison, you know.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
badass.
I called her, like, I started calling her, like, I think we started booking in, like, February. I didn't get out till, maybe, no, January. We started booking in January, and I didn't get out till, you know, March 22nd, so.
So how far are you booked?
I guess just for, like, a whole other month, but then it's weird, like, shows just keep kind of just coming. People just keep talking to me about them, so I just got hit up today from some people from Houston about going down there and playing, of course. And then, of course, Oklahoma City and stuff, too, but, I mean, I can't leave the state on parole without, like, express permission, so it's becomes like a whole thing. So I'll pretty much, but I get off parole in like late October, so
that's not too far away.
No, it's not too bad, man. I mean, it really, you know, I really, really, really got lucky, you know, in
definitely
as terrible as it was, you know, I mean, I got really lucky in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are happy that you're out, and
some people are mad about
music.
It, but yeah.
Well, there's always going to be lovers and haters,
oh,
there,
yeah,
no
of
matter
course.
What you're doing.
Well, you know, anytime you do something, like, people are gonna hate or love it, so.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I don't mind being polarizing, so.
Yeah, that's like your image, though.
I kind of feed off of it, yeah.
It's called Polaroid.
Yeah, I kind of feed off that thing, so.
So, over the years, you've also worked in some audio engineering.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, how's that gone for you, basically?
Man, like, that's been cool. I've gotten, you know, I've got credits on anywhere from IMDb to allmusic.com. I've recorded three, I think, Brave Combo records. And
Brave Combo's a big folk band.
Multiple Grammys.
Not Polka.
Yeah, Polka. They've got multiple Grammys. They've been on The Simpsons.
Yeah, that's true.
Something that I recorded for them was on the was on Futurama. Matt Groening's like a really big fan of theirs. So I remember one day we were watching TV and I heard a song. I was like, dude, that's a song. I recorded that song. It was tripped me out.
That is awesome, man. Holy crap.
So, and those guys, you know, so, and that was a big challenge because, you know, going to something, being able to do something in a genre that's outside of the norm, which people, you know, they're considered a polka band, but man, that band's really not far off from a punk rock band. I mean, they're really wild. As far as the music, it's not normal.
Yeah, I've seen them play at Denton Arts and Jazz Fest, and they're pretty wild.
Yeah, they're playing Sunday. Yeah. Actually, our guitarist is the guitarist for that band. The drummer for the Wee Beasties is their drummer. Our band members are becoming somewhat incestuous because they they have our guitarist now, and we have their drummer now as far as Wee Beasties go. So
you interchange a lot.
Yeah. So, it's cool. I mean, everybody just likes to rock, so, you know.
Now, you had a show a while back. You had a couple of some of their band in there with you, too.
Yeah, always. I mean, that's almost always the case.
So how did you get to know them? That's quite a big...
Really? I mean, we grew up them being a really big deal in Denton, and then in 07... See, I worked at the Dallas Sound Lab before then, and I went to school for recording at... they had just started Media Tech, you know, so... I went to school for audio engineering there, and then I was working at the Sound Lab, and then I opened up a studio in Denton, and it was actually shared the building with Brave Combo's rehearsal space, so mm-hmm. It was them and us, and they just kind of needed somebody to track some stuff for ESPN one day, so they came in, and they liked the drum sounds that I got, because I really focused on getting big, big rock and roll drum sounds, and the drummer's like, dude, this is awesome, and so they ended up coming back like a month later to start tracking a record. I just kind of got really lucky just that they came in, but it was kind of just right place, right time. I mean, that's just kind of that's how anything in the music industry usually goes.
Especially trying to make it anywhere. It's not about what you know. It's about who you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I bring that up every show. Like, if you're going to make it in the music scene, you have to know people.
Man, look at the Misfits. I mean, I you know, that's a huge band nowadays. People really know that that's a big band. But, you know, the time that they were around, the entire time they were a band, they probably sold less than 10,000 records. I mean,
yeah, that's
like,
how it usually is with the beginning.
I mean, they never did anything. I mean, and then years later, you know, Metallica covers them and Guns N' Roses cover them, and then everybody knows who they are.
Really? That's how they got big, was because of that?
Metallica's covered four of their songs.
Oh, I knew they covered one. It was I've Got Something to Say. What was it called?
They did Last Caress. They did Green
Last
Hell.
Caress.
They did Die Die My Darling. Sometimes live they'll do Death Comes Ripping. Guns N' Roses covered Attitude. So
wait, I didn't know that was a
Misfits song.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I didn't even brush up on my Misfits.
Dude, and whoever's in that band must have been a really big Misfits fan, because that's a rare track. That's like from like a really early recording of theirs.
Really?
And for them to have covered that in the 90s, I mean, that stuff wasn't being repressed, you know, until like in the 2000s. So
Well, I know Slash was a big music appreciator.
Oh, so. Yeah, man. And I don't know. It's just, it's kind of funny. Like, even like, you know, the Black Flag dude. So I don't know. If you look at a lot of really big artists that were really groundbreaking and really important, you know, they kind of didn't really get their due in their time period. Mm-hmm. So whenever I feel like I'm not making any money or being successful, I just think that perhaps maybe I'm one of those guys.
Hopefully you don't pull a...
Like in 15 years, people will talk about me.
Hopefully it's not one of those times where it's an artist who makes something brilliant, but it's not until after they died that he was such a genius.
Yeah, I mean, that happens a lot too, but yeah, I hope I don't have to wait that long. You know what I mean? Yeah.
No one wants to wait that long.
Yeah, I'd like, well, you know, at least hopefully my kids get it then, you know.
Get those royalty checks.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like some of it. Yeah.
Now, I want to rewind a little bit. Well, I think we've got like about 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
I want to rewind to your very first live show. And how, because part of the show is giving advice to new musicians that are starting
out. I'll give you complete advice. This is how we got our first show.
Okay.
I called a local guy named Eric Keys because we wanted to start playing live. We had a three-piece and we wanted to start playing live. And he told us, when you call a venue to get a show, never say that you're in the band. He said, tell them that you manage the band. And even if you're in the band, that's not completely untrue. So we called a place that was really close to Fry Street. It wasn't directly on it, but here in Denton, it was called the Rib Shack, I think, or just the Shack. They had quarter beer night. We were like 14 years old.
Really?
Yeah, and it's like a bar, so all of our friends were going to come. So we didn't really know what to do, but we called them, and I told them, yeah, I manage this band, and they're like a cool punk rock band, and we want to play, and we have this other band that wants to open for us too, which was like Robert.
And you're hooking this up while you're 14.
Yeah, I'm calling on like a
so your squeaky voice talking like to a
like a corded,
bar owner.
Like a corded phone. Yeah, it made my voice. Yeah. Made my voice.
I'd like to get a band.
Yeah,
like
it was seriously like, oh, hey guys. Yeah, and so they got us the show, and nowadays people don't flyer as much, but back then, no matter what show we played, we put out 500 flyers.
You have to flyer.
We put out 500 flyers every single show.
Really?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it wasn't, we just sat them in a stack in a business. We went and passed them out to people.
Passed like, them out, put them out in critical spots.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, hung them in bathrooms, like where people, you could piss and see it, you know.
Oh yeah.
And we did that every show for about the first probably 100 shows. You know, the first show, it was a complete nightmare. We probably played 20 minutes. I threw up before we played. I played with my eyes closed. I couldn't even look at the audience. I was so nervous.
How'd you get over that? Did you eventually just say, F it?
Yeah, I saw the Riverboat Gamblers play, and I saw that guy just start acting like a lunatic, and thought, then you start to take that nervous energy and make it to where it becomes just energy.
Yes.
If I don't stop moving and if I don't stop panting, then everything will be okay. And so we just kind of did that.
Kind of drift off in your own space.
And start a mosh pit and everything will be fine after that.
I can dig a mosh pit, bro.
Absolutely.
Well, we're getting close to the end times. Is there anything else you wanted to say before we tune off into the next show?
I think this is going well. My girlfriend's boobs look really amazing if you can't see it on the radio, but they do.
Oh, thanks, babe.
Well, You drew some nice boobs in my autograph book. We'll post that on Facebook.
Cool.
I'll think of that as a visual representation. No problem. It was a delight having y'all in. Richard, I'd love to have you in again.
Oh, awesome. Anytime.
Oh, heck yeah, man. So this is the Local Lounge with Richard Haskins. And before we go, do you have any upcoming shows that you want people to know about in any CDs?
Yes, come out.
We still got time.
Okay, come out May 4th. I'm playing my solo stuff at J&J's in Denton. Come out May 6th. It's Richard Haskins and the Lapsed Catholics at Backyard on Bell, also in Denton. And the Unmarked Graves are playing May 13th at Andy's in Denton. So we're doing like a Denton-only tour.
Sweet. Catch him live in Denton. He's going to be touring around Denton. And is there any music that you're going to be putting out for people to listen to?
Yeah, I'm working on a record right now with Robert Hocamp, and we're just going to start putting singles out because I don't really want to wait too long to do a record.
Now, where can people listen to those?
They'll be on Spotify and iTunes, but it'll probably be a month before we start.
Okay, so is there like a Facebook page people could keep up to date on that, or any kind of social media?
Just look for Richard Haskins on Facebook. It'll be a personal page, and you'll know immediately who it is because I'll be looking like a jackass.
And you'll be keeping people up to date.
Yeah, absolutely. If you friend me, I'll try my best not to post things that offend you.
You'll try.
I'm probably going to completely offend you.
Hey, that's just the generation these days.
Yeah, it happens.
All right. Well, it's the Local Lounge. Thank you so much again, Richard.
Thank you.
We'll bring you in again. And until next time, we have the punk rockin' of Richard Haskins on the Local Lounge.
We don't care what you want to. It's like burning in the It's Superhero Supervillain with
Ziggy Leha,
Evan Fee,
and Matt McCauley
on The Local Lounge with Zach Killian, Talk Radio 1190.